Well, good morning. The time is a minute after 10, and you are tuned to WPRB, Princeton, New Jersey. Community-supported independent radio at 103.3 FM or online around the world at www.wprb.com. Welcome to another edition of Classical Discoveries. I'm your host, Marvin Rosen, and I want to thank you so much for joining me this morning. We continue now immediately with music of Ernst Bacon. You were just listening to Coon Hollow by American composer Ernst Bacon, who lived from 1898 until 1990, as performed by a guitarist, Bradley Colton, who was my guest until 11 o'clock. Bradley Colton has appeared in performance throughout the United States and in Canada, France, Germany, and Switzerland as a soloist and chamber musician. Highlight appearances include performances at Caramore Music Festival, Lincoln Center, the New World Symphony Orchestra's Chamber Music Series, Merkin Concert Hall, and Carnegie Hall, where his debut was noted by Guitar Review magazine as superbly unrelenting and as having imaginative lyricism and amazing energy. Bradley holds undergraduate degrees from both Tufts University and the New England Conservatory and MM and DMA degrees from the Manhattan School of Music. He is a founding member of the award-winning flute and guitar ensemble, Arc Duo. Well, Bradley, welcome so much. It's great to have you here and finally meet you in person.
It's lovely to be here. Thank you, Martin. Good morning.
Good morning, and thanks for coming down. Well, today we are here to talk about and play selections from your new CD on the Azika label devoted to the complete works for solo guitar by Ernst Bacon. We will talk more about the CD in just a couple of minutes. Before we get to that, though, share with us a bit about the composer and what you feel his place is in the history of American music.
Oh, I'd be happy to. You know, Ernst Bacon, I think, in short, is a very important composer in American history, though in many ways he's been neglected. He had many important teaching positions, and he had a lot of impressive awards bestowed upon him. And yet, as often is the case, history sometimes misses or neglects these people. In general, I think he was overlooked for his general output. As a guitar composer, he was completely forgotten until now.
And you've taken care of that.
I am trying my
single-handedly,
best.
Single-handedly,
I am trying my best.
Single-handedly. Well, let's go now, Bradley, to the works for guitar. First of all, just share with us briefly about the work we just heard, Coon Hollow. It was written in 1983. However, it has kind of an interesting background.
Yeah, Coon Hollow's fun. It's one of the more carefree pieces, I think, in the guitar output of Ernst Bacon. I found it in the Library of Congress, in the bowels of the Library of Congress, actually. And it's surrounded, like many things from prolific composers, it's surrounded with a little, if not mystery, then ambiguity, I would say. The piece is actually found in two different catalogs in the Library of Congress. Coon Hollow is cataloged as a guitar piece. And Tin Lizzie, the Tin Lizzie is another piece that is exactly the same manuscript, but is cataloged as a piano work.
That's what I was reading about.
Yeah.
That's the interesting background, I think.
I think it's mostly a cataloging era. I don't know exactly where the title Tin Lizzie came from, but the pieces are exact. And the Coon Hollow manuscript, I think, for a number of reasons, is slightly more detailed with some markings in hand by Ernst Bacon and kind of holds its own quite well on the guitar.
Yeah, it's a wonderful piece, very delightful. You know, it gets you into a very good mood.
It's really fun. It's light and it's exciting. It's also deceptively sophisticated and it's a little tricky in spots as well.
Oh, okay. Well, let's go now more to some of the music on the CD. Actually, in general, to the works for guitar by Ernst Bacon. The recording that you did contains 19 pieces, many of them, according to the notes with the CD, lost. Now, Bradley, how did you come into contact with these works?
Right. So about 4 years ago, there was widely known to be only one work for guitar by Ernst Bacon. That's his fragile, beautiful, intimate piece called Parting. It was published in 1968. But also about 4 years ago, I had a small concert in a New Hampshire town called Tamworth. It was a house concert. Mm-hmm. It was lovely, but not too grand of an affair. And I bumped into, in a post-concert conversation, a woman who just inquired about the composer Ernst Bacon. I had know about Ernst Bacon at that point. I'd played Parting as an undergraduate. Mm-hmm. And I just simply got kind of thinking, curious, really. About
this composer.
About this composer,
sure.
And why, after writing such a great piece, a technically wonderful piece for the guitar, why he hadn't returned to it again. So, in short, I started digging. I went home and got online and noodled around, and I started bumping into some mysterious or intriguing
things.
Yeah, obscure things.
Interesting, very interesting. That almost reminds me, just to share something on my, when I was doing some liner notes for music of Henry Cowell, I came upon a whole hymn and fuguing tune for solo piano. And through the Cowell estate, I was able to get a copy of the manuscript and got the rights to actually perform it. Similar kind of story, actually.
It's amazing. And I think history is perhaps kind of littered with these kind of stories, which is exciting that there are people out there doing this kind of research work, detailed research work, and netting unknown gems.
And you said the word unknown gems, because this music, which I heard on your CD, is just wonderful.
Yeah.
It should be better known.
I agree. I'm working on it.
I'm working on it. That's your number one priority, right?
It is. I feel very much like an ambassador for this music and an advocate for sure.
Well, you know, since you've obviously you've studied these and you know them backwards and forwards, and what are some of the, as you see, musical influences they contain?
Oh, well, first and foremost, I think they're drawn from the American spirit. So as you know, and many of your listeners probably know, in the early and mid-20th century, we had a group of emerging American composers that were very much interested and very keen on developing an American sound, separate and apart from the European tradition
Absolutely.
And heritage.
Yes.
Ernst Bacon was right in the mix of that. He was in the thick of it, and he was instrumental in developing or forging that kind of sound. Unfortunately, the guitar, for the most part, and in a major way, was left out of that process. We don't have a great deal of classical repertoire for the guitar from that early and mid-20th century from the United States.
Now, who other, since you mentioned that, that's kind of like the open question. What other composers have you found American composers?
Well, to be sure, there are many, but mostly American composers have written one-offs for the guitar. So you have prominent people and non-prominent people writing one, maybe two pieces. What I think is unique about Ernst Bacon is a couple of things. One, that he had a sustained interest in the guitar over many, many years. Mm. So multiple pieces and multiple decades of writing for the instrument. He kept coming back to it. Mm-hmm. The second thing that I think is unique about Ernst Bacon in regards to the guitar repertoire is that he was a non-guitarist. It stands to reason that usually people writing for the guitar are guitarists. It's an idiosyncratic instrument. It is kind of quirky. And a lot of composers, even excellent ones, are intimidated by it. Ernst Bacon seemed undaunted and leapt right in, even though he was a pianist and a conductor
did a lot of other things.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Well, let's go now, Bradley, to Ernst Bacon's four pieces for guitar, which, when taken as a whole, is a major work. Tell us about the pieces and when they were written, and it's kind of an interesting story here as well.
It's a great, great story. It's an unearthing of sorts. To be short about it, at first anyways, this suite for guitar, the four pieces, were in essence scattered by history. Parting, the first in the series, made it into publication through a 1968 edition. But while down in the Library of Congress doing research, I, leafing through manuscript after manuscript, noticed that on the Parting manuscript, one of four manuscripts, there was a Roman numeral 1 right before the title, Bold Declarative Hand by Ernst Bacon.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, I didn't think much of it at the time. But I kept leafing through things. I was down there, I think, for 3 days. And I came across a Roman numeral 3 on this beautiful piece called Quiet Hallelujah. And then later on, a Roman numeral 4 emerged on a piece called The Morning Star.
I see a pattern developing.
Well, you also see a gap. 1,
yeah.
3, and
oh,
4
oh, okay.
necessitates a 2. And in fact, there was no 2. So I had to kind of really, really dig deep and figure out what was going on. There was a piece down in the Library of Congress called Fulfillment that was a beautiful piece. This version in the Library of Congress was a little anemic. It was maybe not as well-formed as the other pieces, but my gut told me that it belonged in that series. But alas, it wasn't there. And it took a year later for me to receive from the composer's son a whole bunch of manuscripts. And as I was leafing through that package, a ream's worth of manuscripts, really, I found another version of Fulfillment. And happily, right before the title was a bold Roman numeral 2. So in essence,
now that has to show that you really are in sync with what's going on with this composer, I would think.
Well, I've spent over the 4 years, previous years, a lot of time thinking, writing about, and performing, playing, and getting involved.
For you to
involved.
Have that feeling initially, and then for it to show up, is really says something.
It was very exciting.
I'm sure it was.
It was really exciting. So I had this Roman numeral 1, 2, 3, 4, which is, you know, pretty strong evidence that something's mm-hmm. going on, but I'm not sure that's like a silver bullet. I started investigating the scores a little bit more carefully, and I noticed in the footnotes of Parting, the published score, mm-hmm. there's a footnote that makes reference to an old anthology. And I found that anthology, and then happily I found the tunes for all the other pieces in that same anthology. So with a common anthology and a common source for the tunes, with the Roman numeral series, and the fact that the pieces are structurally and as far as content goes quite similar, I was able to reconstruct this forgotten and scattered suite for guitar.
Wow. Very nice. So what else would you like to share with us about these pieces, this four group of four pieces before we hear them?
Well, you know, before we went on air, I think mm-hmm. you called them the centerpiece of the repertoire, and I think you had it spot on. They really are the centerpiece.
Yeah, I think
most
so.
Of this repertoire is brief, but certainly not light. So the average work, I think, lasts, you know, maybe 4 minutes long. Some of them are less than a minute long. They're dense, they're substantive, but they're quite small.
Yeah.
This piece taken as a whole, the four pieces together, is substantive. It's
also
quintessentially American. It has a parlor-like feel to it and sound. It's based on Americana folk tunes, and it really positions the guitar almost single-handedly in a way such that it can, the guitar that is, take its place in the evolving and developing American sound.
And the pieces surely have that. Let's listen to them now.
I'd love it.
We listen to four pieces for guitar by Ernst Bacon, as performed by my guest, Bradley Colton.
Thank you.
You were just listening to a set of four pieces for guitar by American composer Ernst Bacon, as performed by guitarist Bradley Colton, who is my guest today on Classical Discoveries. These four pieces for guitar were from a compact disc on the Azika label. The CD devoted to the complete works for solo guitar of Ernst Bacon was just released. Well, Bradley, welcome back. Again, it's great to have you here, and thank you so much.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you.
Well, let's go now briefly to the level of the pieces. As an educator myself, I am always looking for interesting piano works as a pianist by gifted composers whom are not always household names, pieces which can be played by maybe intermediate or early advanced students. Do any of the guitar works by Ernst Bacon fall into this category?
They do. It's actually one of the lovely things about the repertoire, the Ernst Bacon guitar repertoire. While they're idiosyncratic in a way, in that they're not of the typical classical guitar vein, mm-hmm. they really, in some ways, don't have any precedent. Technically speaking, some of the repertoire is quite difficult, but other pieces are really achievable for the intermediate or, like you said, early advanced student. I guess I kind of feel most notably would be the three canons, really short pieces, each of them under a minute long. And while they're technically, as compositionally, they're technically beautiful and tight-knit, they don't give the guitarist and the performer too much of a hard time in regards to playing through them.
Mm. Well, you put them like it's a suite, kind of as a group on the CD, right? Talk about that a little bit.
That's right. They were actually found in very different locations and were composed at very different moments in history. But I really felt that they deserved to be together. And I'm happy with the collection as it is. But they couldn't be more disparate, actually. The first of the three canons is called a Christmas canon. This piece I actually found in California when I was visiting the composer's son, Joseph Bacon. And at the end of a day-long visit, as we finished up lunch, Joe remembered the piece, and I implored him to go back to his home and to his study, and he found it in his library. It was literally a scrap of paper that Ernst Bacon, the composer, had in a red felt tip marker jotted down these staves and notes. It's about a minute long, and it marks the very first piece Bacon wrote for guitar, dates back to 1964. So the second piece in the series is Anniversary Canon, and this piece Ernst wrote for his last wife, his widow, Ellen Bacon. I actually found this piece hanging in Ellen's home on a wall, framed, and while we were spending a visit talking about the music, I wandered past it and asked her about it. She casually took it down and said it was an unpublished work. We took it out and Xeroxed it, delicately, of course.
And you were very excited, I'm sure.
I was very excited about that. That was a huge find, actually.
Of course, absolutely.
And then the last piece, also brief, is Marinio. This marks really the last piece for guitar that Ernst Bacon wrote, and truly one of his last works. It comes from 1988. Ernst Bacon, as you noted before, died in 1990. This piece, also written for the composer's son, Joseph, had an ambiguous title. There's a manuscript that it calls it Ruminata, and then, of course, one that calls it Marinio. And Joe and I together decided that Marinio was a better match for a whole host of uninteresting reasons.
Yeah. Well, let's listen to these three canons by Ernst Bacon as performed by my guest, Bradley Colton. Thank you. You were just listening to a group of three canons of Ernst Bacon, as performed by my guest, Bradley Colton. Well, Bradley, we talked about compositions that could be played perhaps by intermediate or early advanced students. Let's go to the other end. Some of the technical issues you found in this piece, in these pieces as a professional guitarist.
Yeah, there were many technical problems. Not only as a professional guitarist did I have some to overcome, but also as an editor of the music. Mm. And I think you can really think about technical issues in a piece stemming from two different things. One, just the difficulty of getting around the instrument in a strict, can my fingers move there quick enough and in time and in an appropriate manner? Maybe that's less interesting in a way. The other way is it guitaristic enough, and does the piece sit and lie on the instrument in a way that makes it playable? To be sure, both of those things were obstacles and challenges. Yeah, in this repertoire, Ernst Bacon seemed uninterested in cowing, if you will, to the guitar's quirks and idiosyncratic kind of nature, which I think is a fantastic thing for a composer. To come at the guitar as he or she would any other instrument is a very exciting thing. On a strict technical level as a performer, there are definitely pieces in here that hold some riddles and some challenges. I guess the one that jumps to mind is the little piece Allegro, which is a favorite of mine. It's a sprightly little thing and quirky, truly. It was also found in the Library of Congress on a scrap of a piece of paper, and it was a bit of a mess, really, as far as the manuscript goes. But it was worth kind of tweezing out things and realizing it, really, in a guitaristic score kind of approach. That said, it still is a challenging piece and a lot of fun to...
Well, we're going to hear it now, all 1 minute and 27 seconds.
Yeah, it goes by quickly.
This is Allegro by Ernst Bacon, as performed by Bradley Colton, my guest. That was a little Allegro by Ernst Bacon, as performed by my guest, guitarist Bradley Colton. Well, Bradley, before we hear more music and talk about some of the things that you have coming up, you are indeed obviously in contact with the Bacon family. Now, how many children did Ernst have? So tell us a little more of the personal side, I guess.
Sure. Ernst Bacon was prolific not just in music, but also in family. He had four wives, and if memory serves, six children, and I don't honestly know how many grandchildren there are. But it's been an absolute delight of mine to, in this process of discovering his guitar music, to get to know some of his family members. Mm-hmm. My first contact, really, in gateway into the Ernst Bacon clan was definitely his last wife, his widow, Ellen Bacon. She is a remarkable woman, and she's really the strongest of advocates for Ernst Bacon's music. She's the president of the Ernst Bacon Society. which is a wonderful outfit. And she is in the Syracuse area of New York. She's been instrumental in my kind of unearthing and discovering and getting to know these works. And she also happens to just be a lovely woman. After Ellen, with Ellen, the relationship already formed, I got in touch with Joseph Bacon. Joseph, Joe, is Ernst Bacon's first son from his first marriage. And Joe is, like Ellen, a remarkable human being. He's a sculptor, and he's a guitarist and a lute player as well, and just a deep thinker and interesting guy. These pieces, almost without exception, were all written for Joe, in my estimation, really inspired by Joe and the relationship Joe had with his father. So that's been a really special and exciting relationship that I've kind of forged as I've gotten to know Joe.
Does Joe do a lot of performing?
Not so much anymore. He performs, I believe, locally, and he's active in a great many things. I don't think he's doing a lot of guitar playing at this point. Yeah.
Well, this is great. Well, before we go on, I just want to ask you, Bradley, if listeners want to find more information about you and your involvement with the guitar works of Ernst Bacon, or even want to purchase the CD, which would be nice too, where can they go? You have a website, correct?
Yeah, that's very kind of you. Thank you. Yep, I'm at bradleycolton.com. I guess you'd need a www dot in front of that.
Yeah.
But you can also just kind of search for me online, and I'm sure you'll bump into my website, which has lots of information on my, you know, going-ons and things like that, but also quite a bit of information about the Ernst Bacon repertoire and him as a composer.
And this is available through Amazon, of course.
The disc, yeah. Amazon, iTunes, from Azika's website directly, and a whole host of other places as well online.
Well, there will also, just so that listeners know, if in case it's easier, there will also be a link, Bradley, to your site on the playlist for today's program on my website as well. In fact, just want to remind everybody listening right now that the audio files for today's entire program, as well as the detailed playlist, all of this will be posted on my website by this evening. My website address is www.classicaldiscoveries.org. Well, Bradley, before we sign off in here, one more piece. Share with us a bit as to what is coming up for you musically in the future.
Oh, that's nice of you also. I would say, just looping back to the CD, the cover of the CD has a really arresting photo of the composer Ernst Bacon on it. And I should say that photograph was created by another of the composer's sons, Arthur Bacon, who studied with the iconic photographer Ansel Adams, a lifelong friend of Ernst Bacon's. So even the cover art of the CD is worth the purchase in my estimation.
Right.
As far as my schedule goes, I'm busy. I'm
That's
excited.
Nice to hear.
Yeah, it is nice. I've got a lot of things coming up. You know, frankly, this new repertoire is taking up most of my time now, happily, and I really do feel like a happy advocate for this music. So I have concerts coming up and lectures as well. I'm heading out to Stony Brook next Wednesday, actually, to perform and discuss these pieces with the guitar department. Then up to Boston a little bit later to the College Music Society for a stint up there. And
This is perfect material for them.
I hope so. I'm excited to share it. And then down the road a little bit more, another thing that I'm super excited about is I've been asked to present at the Guitar Foundation of America, really a big, the mother of all guitar festivals, this year out in Oklahoma City. And I'll be talking about, again, Ernst Bacon and his guitar repertoire there.
Well, if people look at the homepage of my website, they will see a link to New Music Box. Tell us about that article. What's coming? You forgot.
I forgot the new music. Yeah, I'm super excited about that.
Yeah, I know. I know you told me. That's why I didn't want to forget it.
Thank you. I've just written. I'm actually just finished a pretty lengthy article about the process of discovery of all this repertoire and discussing in detail a little bit about what we've talked here today. I've gone through the different locations of the repertoire, mm-hmm. the different characters that I've bumped into, and the significance in my mind of these pieces. And that's coming out on New Music
that's
Box.
That's coming up soon.
Yep, I think it's going to be aired, mid to late February, I should say.
Yeah, I think, and I liked your comment because I read what you posted. That skimming is acceptable if you don't want to read 4,500 words.
Yeah,
or something
I think
like
I'm flirting with 5,000 words actually at this point.
I couldn't resist to mention that.
So certainly feel free to skim and poke around. It'll be a pretty dynamic posting with some clips of the music, some
Sounds
interesting
great.
Pictures, and
Sounds
a lot of
great.
Words.
Yeah. Well, Bradley, you've been a pleasure. Thank you for making the trip. And best of luck. It was great to have you here.
Well, I've enjoyed every minute. Thank you.
Thank you. And we're going to sign off, of course, with one more guitar work of Ernst Bacon. We listen now to The Erie Canal. The guitarist is my guest, or was my guest. I guess he's still sitting here. His name is Bradley Colton. And all the recordings we've heard today were from his new CD on the Azika label. Again, Bradley, thank you so much. We listen now to The Erie Canal by Ernst Bacon. Have a wonderful day. I will be back next Wednesday at 5:30 for another edition of Classical Discoveries. Mike is coming up next.